Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Do you need heavy equipment or farm equipment? Look no further than Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel. We have a wide selection of new and used equipment from many top brands. We also offer parts, service, and rentals. Whether you're a contractor, farmer, or just need help around the house, we have what you need. Southern Equipment is your one-stop shop for all farm and heavy equipment. Visit us at 5237 Highway 84 West and southernequipparts.com or call 601-651-4555.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back to Montgomery, Alabama, everybody. Bob and Luke, we're sitting here above third base at the Riverwalk Park, and we're watching Georgia State and Texas State as they've just gotten underway. Second ball game of the day. Golden Eagles is scheduled to play tonight at 4 o'clock this afternoon. What a show today. We've got Jeremy McClain, Athletics Director. He's here with us. Commissioner Keith Gill will be joining us a little later in the show. Gabe Montenegro is coming up to sit in with us, the famous Jack Duggan. So we've just got all kinds of great stuff here today. Special coverage of the Sun Belt Tournament sponsored by Warren & Warren Asphalt, Genesis of Hattiesburg, Parrish Tractor Company, and Southern Bank Corps. We thank them all very much for their support of the show. All right, Jeremy McClain is with us. And Jeremy, thanks of all. First of all, thank you very much for spending some time with us. What a setup here. We're, you know, in the shade. We're in the cool breeze right above third base. Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, it's not a bad place to be spending the day, certainly. So you guys have picked a great spot. The weather's been awesome and really been a good tournament so far.
He didn't even say good morning. He just walked up and looked and said, "Are you really working today?" That's what he says.
That's how I feel too. I mean, it's kind of a little bit feel guilty about this being the job today, but I'll take it.
I hear it all the time, Jeremy, from my family especially. You don't really have a job. You're going to the baseball tournament. All right, so here we are, Jeremy. Baseball tournament's underway. We're in year one. We've been through football. We've been through basketball. We've been through some of the other sports. I'm curious to get your thoughts about the first year here, and is there anything about being in the Sun Belt that has perhaps surprised you?
I don't know if there's been a lot of surprises. I think we were I probably had a unique perspective because I've been in the league before and kind of watched it grow even from a distance after I left. But I think we were really, really excited about what we thought it was going to be, and it's met and exceeded expectations in a lot of ways. I think if there are any surprises, I think just reinforcing the rivalry aspect and how important that is to our fan base and the other fan bases, and we kind of see the interaction, whether it's on social media or showing up at the park, that, you know, people are excited that we're in the league and we're excited to be in a league where, you know, we can create some rivalries and be in a geographic footprint where we can travel and do the things you want to be able to do as a college fan.
Yeah, I agree with you completely, and I think we really saw that last week with the Louisiana series. Could that have been any better?
Oh, it was great. It was a great college baseball series, and at the end of that, just kind of sitting there, especially Saturday, right, the final game, game three, was such an awesome game, back and forth, and of course Danny's heroics and on senior day and all the things that kind of the whole story. But it was just a great baseball series, a lot of big plays, a lot of big moments, and against two really good ball clubs with crowds really every day that made it feel like postseason baseball.
No question.
And it was a lot of fun, and that's just one example of, I think, what we're seeing from those rivalries and being in this league.
Now, Luke has a Danny Lynch official jersey from a couple of years ago with Louisiana.
It's the value, pip home run.
The value of that has increased dramatically.
Continues to go up.
Did we ever get his commentary on the Lynch batting stance? I don't think we ever got an official athletic department.
What do you make of that?
I may not touch that one. Here's what I would say about Danny.
It works.
Exactly. That's where I was going. If as long as he continues to barrel it up, man, I would encourage him to stand on his head if it works.
Let me tell you what he said about it to me the other afternoon. He said, Well, I've been doing it forever. I think people are just now beginning to notice.
Well, that's what Will Hall said. You know how Will talks about Miss Rebecca? He always uses first and last name. He said, well, Rebecca Hall and I picked up on it last year. He said everybody else is just kind of late to the party. Hey, let's talk about Tanner Hall. You see it in three really ways. You see it as athletic director. You see it as a former baseball player, and you see it as a quality pitcher. Tanner Hall.
Yeah. Man, just a pleasure to watch, you know, and be around, for that matter. Let me start there. Just an outstanding young man. Had a chance over the last couple of years to get to even know him better. And just been fun to watch him grow and mature and into just a fantastic pitcher. And the competitiveness, the ability to really pitch, which we don't see as much in college baseball these days. Everybody's so focused on velocity. But to have a guy out there that really has a plan and is able to execute that plan has been so fun to watch him do what he does. And really, you know, when you're last year, let's not forget that he was a midweek guy early in the year, and then he worked his way into the Friday night guy and just had an unbelievable year, got better every time out. When you have that kind of year, you're an All-American, you win the Ferris Trophy, all those things, there's a level of expectation that comes with that when you come back, right? And he has handled that outstandingly. I just think that's not always easy for guys to do, and he's carried this group in a lot of ways on Friday nights, and has been just as solid as they come. And so it's been a pleasure to watch him throw, and I'm hoping I get to watch him several more times this year, and it's always fun.
Yeah, I mean, knowing you're the guy and dealing with it, as a former pitcher, though, how good is the changeup?
Oh, it's elite. Like, it's I don't know from a college standpoint if I've seen one better. And it is at the top of the list from a changeup standpoint. On, you know, and I've seen a lot of them, but it is really at the top of the list.
See, the reason I get that analysis is people love to hear their athletic director know when what he's seeing and watching and express that. And I mean, that's just one of the things we just enjoy talking about you, is that all the other stuff and minutiae and big picture is really important. But, man, people like to hear their 80s say, hey, man, that's a really good changeup. Good stuff.
Well, and that's, in honesty, that's the fun part of the job for me, is watching these guys compete and having an understanding of what they're doing. You know, there are things about my job that aren't nearly as fun, obviously. So I really relish and enjoy, no matter what the sport is, seeing our student athletes compete at a high level, man, that is the absolute best part of my job.
And he's such a high character kid. You know, the whole thing about last year and telling us I couldn't come here and let these coaches make me the pitcher I am and then leave, that's just unusual, Jeremy.
Yeah, and he'll be rewarded for that. I mean, he will be he's a Southern Miss legend today and will be for forever. And, you know, that's what that gets you. And you're right, he is an absolute high character. You know, and probably one of the things I enjoy the most about him is how even keel he is on the mound. There's not a ton of emotion for him except when there needs to be, and I love that.
A lot of people, you know, obviously this tournament will determine where we're playing next week, and, you know, not all the ins and outs of it, but I mean, from your perspective, obviously we want to host. You guys have already done every due diligence for that to happen. Just got to wait and see what. But you know, as a AD, and what's kind of your thoughts about this weekend for us to be able to play at the Pete next week?
Yeah, you know, it's I say this all the time. It doesn't happen in a vacuum, right? And part of it is what we do. Part of it is what happens around us too. So I think the key for us right now is continuing obviously to win ball games, but I think the RPI is one of the main things for us. I think we really need to get down into that 20 range and to be, you know, to be in that mix, and we're in the mix now, but we just need to continue to improve our RPI, and we've got some opportunities in this tournament to
today
do that. Yeah, today certainly, and hopefully, you know, if we can continue on past today, we'll have some more opportunities. And so there's a chance in front of us, and you know, it's simple, right? It's just win the game in front of you. And I think if we do that and can have a good tournament, I think we got a shot.
What is the process as an athletics director that you have to go through, Jeremy, and getting into that picture?
Well, I think the main thing is the numbers are the numbers. Now, we have to fill out information and submit to host and make sure we got all our ducks in a row, which we've done. And, you know, fortunately for us, we've had experience at it, so it's not a difficult process for us to get prepared for. And then it's really, you know, you you do have some conversations with people who are in the know, and you try to make sure they understand every nuance of what, you know, where we're at, what our numbers look like, and they do, you know. So sometimes if you have those conversations, whether it be with committee members just in passing or whether it be a detailed, you know, description of kind of where your team's been, you know, those are the things that happen. But at the end of the day, they're going to get in that room and they're going to close the door. Every committee is a little bit different. And, you know, they're going to look at the numbers and make a decision on who they think is most deserving of the opportunity.
Playing in the Sun Belt helps, though, in that regard, does it not? Because of the level of – and I think the depth of the conference is what I see is different.
Certainly. And I think – so, for example, we finished the game back of winning, you know, the regular season title. And so that normally is a pretty big check mark, right? If you win a regular season title, that's a big feather in the cap. But what I would say is we finished a game back in the fifth best league in the country. And so that is a little bit different than finishing a game back in the seventh or eighth or ninth best league in the country, or even winning the seventh, eighth, or ninth best league in the country. And so I think that, you know, big picture, they have to take a look at that. And I think that's where the value of being the fifth league and being in a really good league where you got 10 teams in the top 100 RPI really matters, is that they know that this year has been super competitive, as will this tournament.
All right, more to come with Athletic Director Jeremy McClain. Other side of the break, Eagle Hour from Montgomery, Alabama. Stay with us.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We're visiting with Athletic Director Jeremy McClain. Sun Belt Commissioner Keith Gill scheduled to join us in the second hour of the second half of today's 2 hours. So it gets a little confusing. First half, first hour.
Yeah, it does.
Well, Jeremy, let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk about basketball. Basketball coach just got a new contract. We were all happy to see that. Renovation plans. You know, I think that's – is it fair to say that's the next big need in the athletic department?
Yeah, certainly. And not just Reed Green, but Reed Green is definitely first on the list. And so, you know, from a basketball perspective, as you mentioned, you know, Jay, we got him signed to a new contract, excited about what we're doing there. We got a good group coming back. They've been able to add some pieces. There's going to be some more things probably that happen here in a short time period. And then, you know, the renovation piece is, I think we've talked about this some, but the first step is we got to put a new roof on the building, and that things kind of have to happen in sequence for us. That's the first piece, and we're working through the state on a bid process there to get that done. And as soon as we can start that, we can begin to move in to the next phases. And we really want to focus on, you know, one of the first things there is the front of the building, and on the 4th Street side, really creating an entryway and really dressing that side of the building up and create an opportunity for it to be more functional. And that will obviously lead into renovations of concessions and restrooms and concourses. And so really want to focus on that fan experience out of the gate and trying to do something that will really make a difference in phase one of this project.
And can you help Golden Eagle fans?
Yeah.
Because they hear roof.
Yeah.
Roof. Money, and we got to throw it at a – but
yeah.
Can you explain why that's first?
Oh, yeah,
and
certainly.
Most important?
Certainly. It's most important, obviously, just for the integrity of the entire building. I mean, when you think about it, we've got leak issues, and that roof has not been replaced in – it's 20-plus years. I don't know exactly what the number is, but it's well past time. And so until we do that, you don't want to spend money in other places until you get – I mean, it'd be like your house. I mean,
yeah,
you were renovating
absolutely.
Your house, and you wanted to, you know do something to a bathroom or a bedroom, you wouldn't do that while you had a leak issue, you know, above that space. And so it's the same mindset there. The good news is that we did get some money from the legislature to address that roof. And so And so we got some help financially there. And it is an expensive piece of the puzzle, but that has to happen first, and then we can move on to the other
thing. Because in all of these, there have to be non-glamorous improvements before. But I mean, that's the thing. People walk in the bathroom and be like, fix it. And you're like, man, there's other stuff that's like way more important.
And that's what, you know, the architects kind of had a heart-to-heart with me early on. Of course, I'm just as anxious as everybody else. But they said, listen, this project is going to have to happen in sequence. We cannot do some of the things you want to do first because we have to address these other things before we can get there. And some of it you won't even see, right? I mean, there's some mechanical and infrastructure things that it's an older building, and those things have to be addressed. And some of them we've been addressing. But they have to be addressed before we can get to some of the more fun things that people will see. But it's coming, and it's going to be a project that takes some time. Even when we start, it's going to be a 2 or 3 year project because there'll be times when we have to stop and start because we play basketball in the building and we have commencement in the building, and so. But we'll have a timeline and a plan that we'll produce when the time is right. That'll kind of map that out.
Can you, Jay Ladner's contract, how long do you write these new contracts for?
Yeah, 4 years, so which is the max in the state. And so we're starting from this point. We've got a four-year window here for Jay to continue to work and build the program. And, you know, again, we're excited about that. He's done a phenomenal job. And although it took a while to get going, we all know that. It's feel like we're in a place now where we've created an opportunity for us to really be competitive year in and year out, and part of that obviously is what we were just talking about. We got to continue to improve the facility, give them opportunities to have the things they need to go out and recruit and be successful.
All right, and then right around the corner, before we can blink an eye, you know what season it's going to be, football season. And that obviously is the driving force in every athletic department, but you got to feel really good about the momentum and the increased enthusiasm that the Will Hall has brought to the table.
We really are. I think anybody who spent time with Will, it's hard to feel that way. I mean, not only have we seen the progress, and he inherited a pretty significant rebuild project. And early on, we talked about how we wanted to attack that, and we were very committed to trying to do it in a way that was sustainable. I just said to him in the interview process, even before he was our guy that we named him, you know, we have to figure out how to build this program back in a way that can be sustained. I'm not interested in a flash in the pan. I want us to build this on solid rock. And so he's done a really good job from a roster standpoint, from just kind of the accountability within the program and what we're trying to do to do just that. And so entering year three, they've done a great job of addressing roster needs, getting us to a better place. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. But Will has created some excitement. We announced this week that we've sold out of our touchdown club area, which is a big deal for us. Hasn't happened. I don't know that it's ever happened. It hasn't happened in a long time. We're sold out of suites. We'll probably sell out of the East Club sometime in the near future. And so our goal is to begin to set new records in season ticket sales like we have in some other sports soon. And that means getting above, the 12,000 seat standpoint. And so we're making progress towards that. But there's a lot of excitement surrounding football. And you are right. It will be here before we know it.
And isn't Southern Miss unusual in this respect that you have a baseball program that generates revenue and generates a profit? Football, obviously, is the big one, but a lot of schools don't have that. Do
right.
They?
Yeah. Oftentimes, even in league meetings, a comment will be had about revenue sports and non-revenue sports. And I will remind them that, baseball is a revenue sport for us. And we don't shy away from that. It does. I mean, it's, when you sell out your stadium in season tickets, that's a huge shot in the arm to the budget and on the revenue side. And so, yeah, it is unique. Obviously, not everyone gets to experience that and enjoy that, but we want to continue to build on that. And we think baseball, we've got some opportunities, and we won't get too deep into this today, but they're definitely some plans being mapped out for baseball for the Pete as well, to figure out how we get more people in there and how we create an even better experience while keeping some of our unique, the uniqueness of the Pete kind of intact. And so we've been working hard on that, and that's something that we'll talk more about in the near future.
And we can't let you go today because I don't think we've talked to you since Christian Ostrander was hired as the new head coach. And, you know, it's – it's so bittersweet in a way because everybody loves Scott Berry. So, but as I told Coach Ostrander, I don't believe the program could be going to better hands. Would you agree with that?
I would, and you know, I think
you didn't have any hesitancy.
No,
Delta State guy, man. It's another Okra there.
You know, there's definitely some personal appreciation for the fact that this came together the way it did. But even if I had not known Christian for 20 years, there's still no doubt that he would have been the right guy. And Scott felt that way. And so when Scott made the decision, you know, he and I talked in August of last year. And, of course, we've been talking for a couple of years about, how many years do I have left? And then when he made that decision in August, I think he felt really good about passing the torch on to Christian, and I did too, obviously. And so I don't think we could be in a better situation as far as having a seamless transition. Now, Christian's going to put his own stamp on the program. He's going to do things the way he feels like they need to be done, and I encourage him to do that. But I think who we are is not going to change. And I think he understands that, and it lines up with his values, and I think that's the most important thing. But Doss has shown that he knows how to do it. He knows how to get it done, can recruit at a high level, can motivate guys. He's been successful as a head coach, and I think we're all excited about the future.
Tanner throws it, but Oz created the changeup. So, I mean, that just helps me understand. Hey, about a minute and a half left. Anything for our fans to know coming out of spring meetings?
Nothing major, and some of those things I'll have to. There are a few things that will come out later, and we need to let the CEOs vote on some of them to make them official. But I think one of the things we talked about this baseball tournament, and Montgomery's been great. This is a great setting for those of you who are not here. Unique park. It's got great character. The setup's really good down here. There will be an RFP process for where the tournament's held down the road. There's a couple of years on the contract here in Montgomery, and I'm sure Montgomery will be a part of that conversation and submit another bid. But there will be some other places that want to get involved in that as well. And so that's the question that's come up a lot. And so I'll just say that, probably in the next year there'll be an RFP process that, to see where the future of the baseball tournament.
I'm all for Pensacola.
Yeah, we've heard from several different sites that are very interested in it. And so, we definitely want to try to put it in the best place possible.
There's another town called Biloxi that Golden Eagle fans would appreciate that one.
That's not bad.
I
would take either one. Either one.
Have you sent Brent Jones a text this morning at all about this afternoon's athletic event?
I have not, and I will I will wait. I try not to give Brent too hard of a time because, I value his friendship, and, I want to make sure that I don't pour any fuel on the fire. So, because he gets fired up.
Yeah.
So I want to be careful about that.
Fed on the week of the ULM, and Fed said, those are my buddies in the dugout. But from inning one tonight, I'm going to rip their face off.
I want to rip their face off.
No doubt. So Brent and I may not talk before the game starts, but probably afterwards.
Probably after. Yeah. Yeah.
Jeremy, as always, thank you very much.
I appreciate you guys.
We always
Thanks
appreciate
for being
your
here.
Friendship and your input on the show.
Absolutely.
Jeremy McClain, Athletics Director at Southern Miss. Coming up, Sun Belt Commissioner Keith Gill on the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to a special two-hour edition of the Eagle Hour. We are in windy Montgomery, Alabama. I'm sure you could probably hear the wind in the background, and we apologize for that. But we're not really complaining because it's cool, and the wind is making it stay that way. Our special coverage sponsored by Warner Warren Asphalt, Genesis of Hattiesburg, Parish Tractor Company, and Southern Bank. I want to thank Jeremy McClain for joining us. And now we're thrilled to have Commissioner Keith Gill back on the Eagle Hour. And, Commissioner, it's always a great pleasure to have you on the show, and we thank you for your time today, sir.
Yeah, thanks so much. It's great. I appreciate you having me back, so looking forward to it.
All right, let me ask you this to start the interview, Commissioner. We're now here in baseball, and we've been through basketball, football, now baseball. Analyze what contribution you feel like all of the new teams that have come in, Old Dominion, James Madison, Marshall, Southern Miss. What as we've entered the third major sport, what do you see as the contribution and addition that these schools are bringing to your conference?
Yeah, you know, I just think they've made us all better. You know, if you go back to football, you know, you start off with the Old Dominion, certainly one of the new schools upset, you know, Virginia Tech in week one. Marshall, one of the new schools, upset Notre Dame in week two. So those are two huge things. Obviously, along with App, with their big upset over Texas A&M, and Georgia Southern upset over Nebraska. So it started right off the bat in football in terms of that success. And then when you go to volleyball, you know, we almost had two teams in the women's volleyball championship. James Madison, one of the new schools, won that. And so, you know, Old Dominion won women's soccer. So certainly you see that during the fall in terms of, you know, those impacts from those new schools. In terms of getting us better, getting us closer to multiple teams in, actually winning some championships, having some upsets nationally. Then you go to basketball, you look at the season Southern Miss had. You know, I was at the home game Southern Miss had with Louisiana. Atmosphere was electric. So we have four teams in the top 100 in men's basketball, which is huge. And then if you look at baseball, we've got 10 teams in the top 100, you know, and obviously Southern Miss is right there, you know, in a really good spot to get a nice place kind of in the NCAA tournament. And obviously Coastal's in good position as well, along with you know, with Troy, and then we've got some other teams, Texas State, Louisiana, that are right there. So I think it's been tremendous in terms of their contribution, and I don't think this first year could have gone any better.
Kamish, we Southern Miss fans feel the same way, just so happy to be in this league. And first time we've made the trip, we always, when we were in another conference, we always came to the baseball tournament. And second day here, or third day officially in Montgomery, Eagles playing Troy in a little bit. What's the relationship between the city of Montgomery and the Sun Belt Conference? It's a center location, you know, as you look at the map. And how did this relationship start?
Yeah, you know, it's been great, you know, in terms of, you know, obviously Alabama is a big important part kind of the Sun Belt footprint, and Montgomery being the capital city, you know, right near Troy, obviously not too far from Troy, and really not too far from Mobile either. So it's a real good, like, centrally located place, easy to get to from Atlanta and from all places kind of in our membership. And then it's got a beautiful stadium. You know, the partnership with the city, the partnership with the Biscuits has been great. So the stadium is really first class and a really good place to watch a baseball game. And then downtown Montgomery is the perfect place. You know, if you drive to Montgomery, you can really park your car and you don't have to get back in until you leave. You know, you've got hotels within walking distance of the stadium downtown, really nice hotels, that are, you know, really good places to stay. You've got good restaurants down there. And then there's so much history, a lot of civil rights history. You know, you've got the Legacy Museum down there. Dr. King's church is there right in the shadow of the Capitol. So it's a really, you know, wonderful place kind of historically and culturally, you know, good food, good location and proximity, and then obviously good baseball.
You didn't see it like this, but those of us, you know, new to the Sun Belt Conference, I think in the group of five, there was, you know, a few years back, you know, 5-6 years back, people – in different conferences saw themselves above the Sun Belt. And then when we're inside of it and coming into it and we understand why that was made and we look up and we're in a top five baseball conference, football is going to be the preeminent group of five conference, if not already. All the commercials we see on ESPN Plus with the Sun Belt about rising. How did you see it? You know, you knew it was going to happen before it happened. And what's kind of been the principles that's just allowed the ascent of the conference to be what it is right now?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we really focused on quality football and passionate fan bases in our footprint. So when you thought about, like, how we defined ourselves, that's really how we defined ourselves as a conference. And then when we decided, hey, there could be some opportunities to grow, that's what we really focused on. You know, we wanted people with really good football programs and good tradition, really passionate fan base and a commitment to good athletics, you know? And I think one of the byproducts of that, I mean, I think we hit those marks with all the teams that we added. And certainly our conference is better for that. But the byproduct is we have teams, we have schools that are that really care about athletics generally. And so now we got, you know, our baseball is even better. We had good baseball. You know, we had four teams in the NCAA tournament last season, you know, before we had the new teams. But, you know, we're going to get three or four again, and the quality of our baseball is better from top to bottom. Our softball is better. You know, we've got, you know, once again, multiple teams in softball championship as well. You know, Marshall played great in our championship game. So it really was good football, good fan bases, commitment to athletics. And then, you know, because that was our focus, we ended up with all these schools that have these this comprehensive programs and great programs. So it's turned out really better than I think we could have even imagined.
You know, Commissioner, speaking from a Southern Miss standpoint, I know that our fan base is just absolutely thrilled to be in the Sun Belt. And I think we saw last weekend on our campus when Louisiana was there for a weekend baseball series what sort of rivalries are going to develop for Southern Miss. And I think about Louisiana. I think about South Alabama, Troy. Those are going to be big rivalries. I foresee a real baseball rivalry developing between Southern Miss at Coastal Carolina, because clearly both see themselves as the best team in the league. Those rivalries, are those important to the health of an athletic conference?
I think so. You know, I mean, I think one of the things we were excited about by adding Southern Miss was, in some ways, we were recreating rivalries that already existed. You know, like historically, you know, those teams you mentioned were rivalries when you're in the same conference, and then as conference realignment happened, you don't play quite as much, and those games kind of go away. And so it's nice to kind of reestablish something that people are already kind of familiar with. You know, people at Southern Miss, they're familiar with Louisiana. They're familiar with South Alabama. So, and then there's proximity, you know, and I think the proximity is important because I think it does two things for us, because attendance is important to us as well. We want to drive attendance because that creates atmosphere, that creates exciting games. And so it gives you an opportunity for the regional piece. So people actually care about the game. So they come from a home standpoint, and then the away crowd, they can actually get there in a reasonable time. And so they come as well. So I do think the rivalries are really important. I think you want that intensity. You want that passion. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, athletics in the South is really important. And so we have those passionate fan bases. And I think the proximity and the rivalry only makes those passions even stronger. And I think that's a good thing.
All right, last question for me, and Luke may have something. We've got a couple minutes left. Are you happy with where the Sun Belt is now? Do you anticipate any future expansion, or do you think you're right where you want to be?
You know, I think, you know, I go to the, you know, yes and yes, right? I don't really anticipate us growing. We aren't seeking that out. That being said, though, you know, I mean, we're not going to miss an opportunity. And so I think if there's some good opportunities out there for us to grow in ways that make sense, I don't think our mind is closed to that. However, we do like where we are. You know, we've got 14 great schools, you know, located in a nice place, good fan bases, and really good sports programs. So we do feel really good. You know, I think, but I do think our best days are ahead of us. And, you know, I'm not one to close the door on any opportunity. And so if something that we think makes sense, you know, comes along, you know, we're just not going to stand pat just to stand pat. That being said, you know, we feel really good, really comfortable about where we are.
Commissioner, as we wrap up, I know as a former Southern Miss athlete, what you said specifically about a conference not going after a media market but valuing fans and tradition and the passion within those towns is so refreshing to hear, and that's how, you know, Southern Miss came about, and it's why we are what we are today. So, you know, as we wrap up this interview, just appreciate you very much for that. Thank you for your leadership, and thanks for being on the Eagle Hour today.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, so I'll be in Montgomery tomorrow, so I look forward to seeing you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Always appreciate you.
Good deal. Thank you so much. Take care.
All right. Commissioner Keith Gill, everybody, on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. There's just all kinds of celebrities around us. Gabe Montenegro, the terror of the
Intramural Softball League,
Southern Miss League, is here. along with his dad, the famous Jack Duggan, is sitting right to our left, so that draws a lot of
Lloyd Lunsford on site as well. Texas State, Georgia State on the field.
We're having a good time.
It's good.
Is this
Appalachians here after
their State guys are there eating pasta? I'm going to ask them where they got. Do we get paid to do this?
Jeremy doesn't think we do.
Oh, we'll be right back.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Montgomery, Alabama. We want to thank Warren and Warren Asphalt Company, Genesis of Hattiesburg Parish Tractor Company, and Southern Bank Corps for sponsoring our special coverage of the Sun Belt Baseball Tournament. Also, obviously, want to thank Commissioner Keith Gill for coming on the show, as well as Jeremy McLean, Athletics Director. I'm delighted to have this next guest on the show. There are a lot of things I'll say about him. He's a huge supporter of Southern Miss Athletics. He's a great friend of Super Talk. Most importantly to me and my wife, he is a very, very dear friend to Angela and I. Truth is, we just really love the guy. Larry Warren, the famous Larry Warren from Warren & Warren Asphalt. Mr. Larry, how are you?
I'm great. Doing well.
Well, you don't do highway work. Since I've last saw you, you're not. You never will. Am I right about that?
That's exactly right. Never will.
All right, Larry. First of all, we appreciate you helping us by being here and being such a big supporter and longtime friend of Super Talk. But I did want to bring you on, too, today because I know how dearly you love this baseball program, and you're such a loyal fan and supporter. I guess like you, like me, I should say, we are a little sad at the departure of our coach. Your thoughts about Coach Scott Berry, Larry?
Well, there's nothing you can say bad about Coach Berry. He's a very, very dear friend. I hate to see him retire, but like he said, every step you make is another step closer to the end. But I've got to say I wish him the best, and I hope he made the right decision. I hate to see him go.
I think you're like a lot of us, that when we talk about Scott Berry, I mean, we don't always, the first thing we think of is not always his huge accomplishments on the field, but what kind of personal interaction we've had with him and what a kind and just really unique man he is. Is that, I'm sure, the way you see it too?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Ever since I met Coach, you felt like that you've known him all your life, and that's the way he treats you. There's not very many people in this world that make you feel that way, make you feel special. Whenever he's talking to you, he's talking to you, and genuinely cares. So that itself is quite an accomplishment for a man.
Mr. Larry, Luke Johnson here. I feel the same way. I knew Coach Berry as a student-athlete when I played football, and even to this day, treats me the exact same way. I've been fortunate enough to you invite me, and your family invites me. I'm able to watch some baseball with you guys, and I was doing some schoolwork last week, way before the game. You got there, went and got your peanuts, went outside, and just watch the Golden Eagles warm up. How did your love for Southern Miss baseball just continue to develop to where it is today?
Well, Lee Applewhite introduced me to baseball. I never watched baseball up until he convinced me to purchase a suite. And so it's grown, and you get to know everybody, you get to know the players, and you get involved, and you meet so many good people at Southern. The Southern fans are wonderful. Is is the number one thing that I've always noticed during the football games and basketball games. The Southern fans always treat the other team with respect, and that's what I love about Southern.
Well, let me point out to you, Luke, and you know this, Larry's kind, so kind to all of us. He enables us all to watch baseball with him. And, Larry, it would be hard to put into words how special the group is that we gather every year for baseball and how much we all enjoy being up there with you. And I know that I speak on behalf of Scott Berry, who last week, you know, when he signed those pictures for us, as I told you, asked me to let you know how much he appreciated everything you do. And so we thank you very much, and we're already looking forward to next year, Mr. Larry.
Well, I am too. I'm still hoping that there's a lot of games left this year.
No question, and I'm hoping that we're all together. Yeah, I'm hoping we're all together at the Pete next week, but time will tell. Thank you very much. We appreciate everything that you do, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you and spend some time with you.
Thank you.
All right. Larry Warren, everybody. Warren Asphalt Company, one of the great people you'll ever meet in your life.
And we get to do this again for another hour.
Yeah, we do. It's pretty good, man.
There's
all kinds of
stuff. There's Montenegro's behind us. John Cox walked up. Jack Duggan. Lloyd Lunsford. Appalachian State baseball team right here. And Golden Eagles play Troy today.
The Mountaineers are eating Mexican food. Is that right, guys? Mexican? Yeah.
They told me where to eat at Boone
they
when we come in the fall.
The thumbs up of approval?
Yeah, there we go.
Great guys. All right, we're at the, what is this? This is a River Walk.
The River Walk Stadium in Montgomery. That's right.
Beautiful, beautiful day. We'll be right back. More Eagle Hour to come.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. I want to thank Larry Warren and also Commissioner Gill and, of course, Jeremy McClain for being in the first hour of our two-hour edition. And what a show we've got, man. We just got, again, celebrities sitting all around us. We want to get right to our first guest of this hour. Gabe Montenegro needs no introduction to anybody that follows Southern Miss. His dad, Momo Montenegro, who I'm happy to say has become a friend of mine over the last few years. And you and I have had some pretty damn tense moments together watching these boys, haven't we?
We've had a few there up there on the little suite you have there.
And Gabe, I've never told you this, but I ruined a family moment because last year when you got that clutch hit late against LSU that broke the game open, your dad's in front of me and he's videotaping that. And I don't know if you've seen the videotape, but I'm the reason that the videotape was ruined because I grabbed him and started shaking him around when he was taking the video of you. But I enjoyed the hit, and I got to see it, Gabe. I don't think your dad did because the phone was going over. But we're glad to have you guys on the show, man. Gabe, how are you?
Good. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Well, we're glad to have you. Look, well, let's get this started. I want to – well, let me ask you a question first, Gabe. What has it been like after such a – legendary career to watch Southern Miss baseball and to watch your baby brother playing Southern Miss baseball?
I really didn't think so, but I get very nervous watching the games from the stands. Like my knees shake, my hands shake, especially when he's catching or up to bat. I really feel like now I know what my parents feel like when they're watching the games. You just want them to go good, and then I get so nervous every time.
Now, when you finished your career last year and you played what you knew was your last game, what emotionally were you feeling?
Well, at the moment, I had the mentality that it wasn't going to be my last game, you know, because you just want to keep winning. But then after my last at-batty, that's where it really hit me, and that's when you start, you know, just living all the memories that you've had from the Pete and from all the fans, and that's when it starts, you know, getting pretty sad.
No. All right, now we're going to play this. You and your dad, neither one have heard this, but I talked to your brother, Rodrigo, after the game Saturday. He was pretty emotional. Here's how the interview went. All right, Rodrigo Montenegro on the Eagle Hour. Now, Rodrigo, this is a great story. Your brother comes here. He's a folk legend. You play here 2 years. You're clearly a crowd favorite. Talk about the journey from Oklahoma here and what this has meant to you.
You know, I've said this plenty of times. One of the main reasons why I came to Hattiesburg is because of the fans. I mean, this place is so special, and I cannot thank the fans enough for the experience that they have given me the past 2 years, and I'm going to take it for the rest of my life, and from the bottom of my heart, thank you, Baseburg.
What was it like today for you, Rodrigo, knowing this may be your last day at Pete Taylor Park?
You know, I knew it was going to be a sad day, but I knew that one day it was going to come to an end. And now that it's over, I mean, I have nothing else, but like I said, thank you all. And I enjoyed it a lot. I enjoyed everybody enjoying my walkout songs. And it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my family that everybody welcomed with their arms open to me and my brother here in Hattiesburg. And there's nothing more special than that, especially being away from home.
Here's what Scott Berry told me about you Monday. He said, what I like about Rodrigo is he stays within himself. He doesn't come up and try to be a home run hitter, but he gets on base and he does the things that we need him to do to help this team win. He expressed great admiration for you.
You know, I mean, Coach Berry's a great coach, and I can't thank him enough. And, yeah, I mean, I try to do my things when I go up to the plate. I know I'm not a power hitter, and I know that I have to do my things to start the rallies or whatever the team needs for me. And I know that I'm going to get on base, and I have confidence about myself and my plan, and I just stick to it every game and every at-bat.
Okay, so season number two starts, and here in Montgomery, you guys certainly capable of winning this whole thing.
I mean, we sure are. We just got to take one game at a time, one practice at a time. I mean, it all starts with Monday. I mean, we got to come here and practice and then take one game at a time. We can't think ahead and just think one game at a time and one day at a time.
All right, Dad, your reaction to that?
Oh man, Rodrigo was a very emotional kid. I mean, he's the one that has emotions on the sleeve. You can see that when he plays the game. And you got to understand something. This is ending kind of a journey for us. We coming from Guatemala, and baseball being so small in Guatemala, so little, and nobody plays much, and having these kids play D1 at the highest level, we had to do a lot of sacrifices as a family. And a lot of pushback from family members, having them take them out of school and homeschool them. And we had to do a lot of things differently than the usual kid in Guatemala. So they knew that, and it's something we nurtured them, being Melanie and I being both athletes, that in order for them to get a better education, better shot at life, they needed baseball to do that. So it's really been a journey that's ending, and pretty much as far as the baseball side of it. And we start compartmentalizing like stages on life, and we're ready for the next one, whatever that is. And Hattiesburg is going to be one of the more special places for us ever. I mean, it's part of our family now. It's in our hearts.
That's one thing, Momo, you told me. You said, I'll be back here. And you said, even if Rodrigo and Gabe aren't, and you said, I'm going to be. Once it gets in your blood, man, it's hard.
They kid me. They gun on me about that, both the boys.
Good stuff. Gabe, we were joking off air. Rodrigo did not say this, but we said he insinuated that he was the stronger of the Montenegro brothers, to which you asked us to refer to the home run statistical categories. 14-0, Gabe over Rodrigo.
He does have that average above me, but he cannot brag about the stronger. That's for sure. Each just look at the stats.
I mean, and looking at the stats right now, and you can comment on this again, Gabe, your brother's batting 395 this year. I mean, it's insane. I mean, now his career average at Southern Miss is 340. Really gelled with Tanner Hall as being behind the plate. And, you know, about a month and a half ago, we saw him, you know, starting two out of three of the weekend series, and the bat's been phenomenal the second half of the season.
He's just always been a good contact hitter, and I believe it's his mentality. He has that dog mentality when he goes up to hit that you're not going to beat him. And so he just sticks to his approach, and no one is going to tell him different. And I believe that's why he has that batting average.
Now, we do need to ask something. Your power has translated over into another sport at Southern Miss. Some people think it's a varsity sport. It's actually not. It's intramurals. So I was told that there was somebody cold called, emailed you basically and asked you and recruited you to a softball team. That's an urban legend floating around campus right now. How did that happen?
Yeah, it was just a random name. I got an email, a school email from Caleb, and he was saying, hey, man, he said, you probably don't know me, but we have an intramural team, and he's coming up in a few weeks, and I was wondering if you want to play with us. And then I was like, yeah, for sure, I want to play. And then so that's how it all started. And then
So for our listeners that don't know this, Rodrigo's playing in the Pete, and Momo leaves the Pete and crosses 4th Street to go watch intramural soccer. I mean, life's full of hard choices, isn't it, Momo?
Yeah, well, you know, Rodrigo wasn't in the lineup that day, so I got that going for me. And it was Gabe's final game, so it was an important game for us.
You told me you were leaving for
that. Yeah, everything that's competitive and having them play, yeah, we'll be there.
All right, Gabe, we're told this, that the day you walked up, the opposing team is going, now, wait a minute, that's Gabe Montenegro. He can't play on the softball team.
Yes, they try to appeal before the game started. They try to say it was not allowed for a baseball player to play. But then my teams were prepared. They had the handbook with them from the start, so they were prepared, and they went over the rule book, and they said nothing about it. It was like a year. He had to be a year out, and I was already a year out of baseball, so I was allowed to play.
And here's what he said to me a few minutes ago, Luke. He said, well, you know, at first it took me a while to catch on because it was slow pitch, and then he grinned. He said, but I caught on.
Yeah, and then the day you went over there, he hit like three bombs, didn't he? Yeah. He hit like three home runs, didn't he?
It was about Momo's presence that even the team got hyped up, and we scored like 30 runs that game.
So is it the game-winning hit against Arizona State? Is it the triple against Mississippi State? Is it the regional hit against LSU, or is it the three bombs at the intramural softball game?
I've never hit three bombs, not even like in a year. So that three bombs in a game, that had to top it.
That's right up there.
That's right up there.
Three bombs at the intramural softball game. Well, my man, I'm going to say that to me the hit was that one against LSU. That broke it open on a Monday afternoon. And Momo, on a scale of 1 to 10, that was like a 40 in intensity, was it, Momo?
We were freaking out, remember, Bob?
Yeah, I remember well.
And then they changed pitchers, so everything got like, it was like 5 minutes before the next pitch. And I remember Scott Berry calling Gabe over and grabbing his helmet from the head and whispering something. And then his walk-on song was playing, remember, because they couldn't, but they like sneaked it in, and crowd went crazy. It was great.
All right, we've got Gabe and Momo Montenegro with us. We're going to continue our conversation here from Montgomery, Alabama, right after the break.
Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back to Montgomery, Alabama. We want to thank Southern Bank Corp, Parish Tractor Company, Genesis of Hattiesburg, and More and More in Asphalt for sponsoring our road coverage of the tournament. And, of course, all our great Eagle Hour sponsors that are with us each and every day. We're grateful to everybody that makes the show possible. We're visiting with Gabe and his dad, Momo Montenegro. Jack Duggan still to come on the show. Rodrigo has just walked up here and has confirmed, Luke, that he is the stronger, better of the two players.
Gabe said he only hit two home runs in JUCO, so Gabe's still up like 14-2. So
the only thing he has against me is he's hit an upper bomb. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
So Gabe, look back on your career. The truth is, man, I mean, you're a legendary baseball player here. You always will be. But are there two or three moments in your great career that stand out in your mind that now that you're done, you think back on the most?
Well, the first one, it's I always think about it, is my very first at bat when I walked, but I skipped Lebo on the batting order, and so he got called out. I don't know what I was thinking.
I remember then, that. Yes.
And then the Arizona State walk off, and then the LSU hit.
Right.
The LSU hit is probably the top.
Right.
So he corrected the record. We gave him a second chance. Right.
Your dad made mention of the fact that they paused in that LSU game. It was so dramatic, and so you're waiting for their pitcher to get ready. Scott Berry comes up. Scott Berry's talking to you. What did Scott say to you that day, Gabe?
Well, Coach Berry. The thing about Coach Berry is that he can be very intense, but at the same time calming. So in that situation, he came up to me and he knew the whole situation in that moment, and he just came up to me and said, like, hey, you've been part of this program for a while and you've been through this situation, so just stick to your approach, stick to who you are, and you're gonna produce for us.
Talk about what you think his legacy is. I mean, you played for him. We won't bring up how many years you played for Southern Miss baseball, Gabe, but we're thankful for, I'm just joking. It was awesome time. Talk about Scott Berry, the man and the coach.
He's an incredible person. He's always been like a role model for me. He has always helped me in the field and as well as outside the field. So he's not only a coach, he's like a dad to us. And so like we're always going to remember him for, you know, the support that he's given us throughout the years.
And Momo, for you, you're not just giving your sons to a university. I mean, you're passing your sons to another country, and so there's got to be somebody to take care of them. And I know that, you know, the way that you have viewed Scott Berry, as Gabe said, you know, as a second father to your sons while they're in a different country, sure means a lot what this baseball program's done for your family.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, when they went to high school, they were like 16 year olds, and their high school coach was a father figure. We kind of had that blessing. We've had that blessing throughout their baseball path. Their high school coach was a father figure for them. Of course, Coach Berry, and I ran into him the other day, and I thanked him because he's been taking care of all our boys all this time and sacrificing his family, and now he gets to enjoy his family, which is awesome for him. And then Rodrigo in JUCO had a great baseball coach as well, Coach Russell, in Western Oklahoma. So it did that, those father figures as coaches, that's the main thing. That's the most important thing,
yep.
Actually.
This next year will be the first time, Gabe, I don't know if you knew this, be the first time since 2013 that a Lynch or a Montenegro will not be on the roster. And actually, I should take that on a playing roster, because Danny's coming back as the GA. But I say that to say, when you think of Southern Miss baseball over the last decade as far as players, there's always been one somebody from your family, there's always been somebody from Danny's family.
Yes, I hadn't think about that, but yeah, and you know, Danny Lynch has always been, you know, that guy also in the locker room, just that leader, and you know, you can see it on the field, you can see him when his other players are around him. So it's
we heard he talks occasionally. He doesn't talk, he does talk a lot. He's always running his mouth, isn't he?
He's always chirping in the locker room and outside the field, just anywhere he is.
All right, Gabe, we haven't had an opportunity to get you to analyze this, but we want you to analyze the Danny Lynch batting stance.
Well, what I've heard is that he stretches his back.
That's what I've heard, but he's had some bad stances over the years, but I mean, you hit two grand slams, so I should have tried it.
Maybe everybody on the team should give it. Talk about that. Two grand slams in one game.
That and on senior day, you know, it just cannot be scripted better that he even got the chance with bases loaded twice. And but I just hope that he doesn't teach that stance to the players next year when he's coaching.
Coach Krill, I have something to say about
that. Tell me if you believe this is true. Scott Berry told me a couple of years ago that after one game, one of the third base coaches for the opposing team walked up to him. He said, "Does the Lynch kid ever shut up?" And Coach Berry said, "No, not very often."
And he's always that's why he's just the leader of the team. The captain is just because he's always out there talking and motivating the players. So he's really been a big part of this program.
What would be your message? I know you talked to your brother, but I mean to these guys. I mean, especially the sergeants, guys like that, the Ewings. That this is the last run for them, you know, in the black and gold. What would be your message to them?
Just enjoy every moment in the field and outside the field, because one of the most things that you're gonna remember in the end is your teammates and the little moments that you have with them. And so just try to enjoy every single situation, even if you're not playing, everything, single throw, every single catch, just every single swing, because you're going to miss it.
Momo, I want to go back to something we talked about earlier. You being accepted as a Southern Miss baseball father, but it's more than that. Just as life goes on and you won't have a son on the team anymore, you have said over and over, we talked about this in the Roost last week, you and I did, but just how Southern Miss people, once you realize that this is your family, they're family. And talk about while you will continue to watch Southern Miss baseball in the future.
Yeah, I mean 7 years, man. It's been a while. So in all those years, we made some friendships here genuine friendships, not just the dad of a baseball player on the team that goes through and talks to people, and people ask about how's your boy, what's he doing. These are genuine friendships, and I was at a Wes Jones High School game. I went over to the Little League game with Bump Bailey to watch his son play and stuff like that. That I like doing with people here.
You liked the Wes Jones game, didn't you?
Man, that was incredible. What an atmosphere. Jesus.
It was, of course.
Mississippi baseball is crazy, man.
It was great.
Jesus Christ.
You said something on you said something on Twitter that you said it was more people at the Wes Jones High School game than some of the others.
I've been in pro league soccer games back home in Guatemala. They don't have as many people there as that game that had that day. Yep, incredible.
All right, Gabe, a couple minutes left. How's life for you? How are you adjusting to post-baseball?
It's been really good. Teaching the young generation coming up. Let me tell you, I'm becoming that so old that I keep saying that next generation just needs to step it up.
I don't think we can disagree.
Look, they don't give out participation trophies where these dudes grew up, okay?
No.
And where a lot of our dudes grew up as well, absolutely. I will ask you this. How cool was it, though, throughout your college career and through your brother's college career, to see your national flag being flown in the Roost?
Oh, it's been incredible because, you come into another country, you're going to feel out of place, like out of home. You're gonna get homesick. And just having that flag and all that support from everybody, it just makes you feel welcomed, and it makes you feel at peace with all the support.
Working on the Masters, finishing up Masters, is that correct?
Finishing up the Masters, the teaching Masters.
And I think the plan is the other Montenegro, he may stick around and finish a Masters.
Yeah, he already was accepted here at USM, so
great stuff.
All right, Gabe, you are a legend, and once you're a legend, the rest of your life, my man.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate everything that you guys have
done. Always a pleasure to see
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, Mo, thank you, man. I've sure enjoyed the last few years with you.
You too. Thank you for having me.
All right, we'll be right back. Jack Duggan next as the celebrity train continues to roll on the Eagle Hour.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I want to thank Southern Bank Corp, Parish Tractor Company, Genesis of Hattiesburg, Ward Warren Asphalt for sponsoring our road trip here. We're in Montgomery, Alabama, and right now Georgia State and Texas State on the field right below us. And Texas State leading 5-2 in the bottom of the fifth inning. The famous Jack Duggan, man, a day of celebrities, and you always save the biggest celebrity for last.
Oh, come on. I'm like the guy who comes in right after the headliner. I'm like the rookie comic who comes on right after Seinfeld, and he's hoping he gets about 3 minutes on stage.
I was a
come
punter.
Come on, guys. I know better than
I was
that.
A punter, Jack. I totally understand.
I'm like, okay, here's what we got on the lineup today, guys. Let's see. We got to fill these last 20 minutes. You think we can get Duggan to come on? You know, he's not doing anything.
Well, do you want to be on Duggan? Or you...
No, I'm kidding. I mean, it's just like, come on. Let's just let Duggan come on. We'll just let him, you know.
I like you, Jack.
That'd be the first save he's had in his old Eagle career.
His first. You could catch a foul ball up here.
Which, by the way, guys, where is Kelly? Why is Kelly not
we
here?
We don't take Kelly
is,
out
is he
public.
Not? Is he not? Is he still not allowed to leave the state?
No, he's not allowed.
I mean, is that
he actually left the state. Yeah. He's at the Indy 500.
Oh, okay. Well,
we
good
try
for him.
Very hard not to take him into public.
That's the one time. Yeah. The one time this year.
I can see that. That's probably very smart.
It's the one time this year they removed the ankle bracelet is for the Indy 500.
Okay, mm-hmm. Fair
yeah.
enough.
Yeah, yeah. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. Doing good. It's baseball time. I get to enjoy a little baseball. I'm hopeful that we will win today, so we will have tomorrow off, so I can drive back to Mississippi for the day, as my two daughters are graduating from high school.
Congratulations!
And so I'm going back either tonight or the first thing in the morning. They will graduate from the Mississippi School of the Arts in Brookhaven. So
wow, I didn't know they were there.
Yeah,
that's
yeah, they spent the last
man.
2 years there, and man, I tell you what, I couldn't be more prouder than my two daughters, and they have turned into just wonderful young women, and it just kind of gets me, man. They'll both be Gold Eagles next year. So
good deal. Did they get their artistic talents from you?
No, God, come on, Bob, you know better than that. I'm not sure they got them from my wife either. I think I got them from my wife's dad, because he's pretty good. He's very talented. But yeah, so I got one in theater, and one is an artist. So
good deal.
Not that they're not both artists, but you know what I mean. So. Yeah,
Jack, let's play this real quick. I will get your thoughts about something Scott Berry said yesterday about the baseball team. If you can run that one.
Okay.
I do what Tanner Hall would do at the first of the year, but your pitching staff as a whole has made enormous strides. Talk about that.
It has, you know. And I think it's – I mean, really, Bob, I think it's the whole team. I mean, I think the first half – we were trying to figure out the pieces. I mean, we were trying to figure out the pieces on the pitching staff. I mean, we had the starters figured out. I mean, that wasn't a problem there at all. It was, you know, the bullpen pieces that we were so inconsistent with. And I think the same way with the offense. You know, we weren't hitting 1-9 there that first half. And, you know, the top half would be hitting and the bottom half wouldn't. So, it was a pretty short lineup. We started getting the length out of that. We started figuring out the guys that separated themselves in the bullpen through consistency that needed to be out there and gave us the best chance to win. And certainly over these last 20 games, I feel like that we've figured that out. You know, we finally have gotten that separation and who's supposed to be out there and who's supposed to be those backups.
All right, Jack, I think from my standpoint, I want to get your thoughts about this. From a coaching standpoint, when you look at everything that was lost last year, it's a pretty remarkable job where we're sitting right now.
No, I think so. I mean, you know, if you'd asked me 6 weeks ago, do you think this team could win 14 in a row? I'd say, I mean, I thought it's been a good team, but, you know, they've really, the last 6 weeks have really come on. They've played great baseball. They've been fun to watch. I mean, they won 8 conference series this weekend, or this season, rather. And, you know, the two they lost were on the road. The first one at Texas State, which was a hard series. And then, of course, we lose 2 of 3 at Coastal Carolina. You know, a couple of days we got, you know, shellacked. But, you know, they didn't give up. They came back. They won on Sunday at Coastal. And that, you know, that started the 14-game winning streak. I think it's a good club. I mean, But you look at what we had to replace. I mean, especially on the pitching side. I mean, we lose 12 guys last year. We lose 5 to the draft that, you know, quite frankly, I don't think that we thought that we would. We probably thought we'd maybe lose 2 or 3.
I think that's right.
And we thought we were going to have some pieces back. But, you know, you look at Dalton Rogers, who just got promoted mm-hmm. yesterday. And, you know, those guys are moving on. I mean, Tyler Stewart is having a great year. Landon Harper having a great year for them.
Riggins is at Rome. I mean,
yeah, Riggins is a graduate, but you know, Ben Etheridge, great year. So guys who, you know, could have come back and helped us, they've gone on and they've started their professional career. And, you know, we had, you know, in a lot of ways, our coaches had to go back to the drawing board. And, you know, they did a great job. They were able to bring in some guys that were able to kind of fit the puzzle. And, you know, I mean, it's not an exact science. You got to figure it out. Who are your best guys in what situations? And, you know, I think it took Coach Ostrander, you know, about a month to figure that out. And once we did, you know, we got to become a better ball club. And you know, here we are. We're sitting second day of the conference tournament. We're 38-16. We're on the cusp of winning our 7th straight 40-win season. I mean, that's just phenomenal. I mean, seven 40-win seasons we can get there. We've already got to 21 straight 30-win seasons. Nobody else in the country. There's no other program in the country that has done that. I mean, both Florida State and Ole Miss were both ahead of us, but they didn't get to 30 wins. So that, you know, we're at the top of that top of that board now. And, you know, it's just,
and
you know, it just comes back,
it
comes back to consistency. So, you know, it just comes down to consistency. And that's what we've been. We've been consistent. And it's just been fun. I mean, and you know, quite frankly, that boils down to our head coach.
Yeah.
He's a consistent, you know, well, you know, even tempered guy, and that's the way our guys play. And, you know, they say you're a lot like your coaches, and you know, we play like Scott Barry, and you know, we've done it for – 14 years, and I tell you what, it's been fun. It's been fun to watch them. It's been fun to watch this team grow. It's fun to get to know these guys. They're a great group of young men, and it's just fun to watch them play.
What was last Friday night, other than the lightning delay? But, I mean, you, as a Southern Miss guy, outside of your job, Jack, I mean, just as a baseball dude, watching Scott Barry being honored in the Peat, I know that was special for you.
Well, it was. And, you know, I got a little emotional. I got a little, you know, I wrote some of that stuff. And, I wrote his retirement release. And I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you that I got emotional both times that I was sitting down and writing it. And because, you know, to me, he's not just a coach. He's
right.
A friend. Heck, he's a hero. Yeah, I love the guy. I mean, there's nothing. You know, I joke with him all the time. I say, you know, Coach, I'd take a bullet for you. And you know, I joke, but I would.
Yeah.
I would. I mean, that's the kind of man Scott Barry is. And you know, the last, 12 years that I've been with him, I was not the baseball SID his first year here, but I took over in 2011 and have been – the day-to-day guy, and you know, I do football too, and I run our office. But you know, this part of the year, I, you know, baseball is what I do, and It's just so special, man. It's you got to be around it to kind of really understand it. And it's a special group of people. You know, the players, they revolve in and out, and, you know, we always seem to get great kids, and they're guys that are fun to root for, and, you know, they're blue-collar guys. They come in, they bust their tail, and they move on, and they do great things with their life.
You know, you're exactly, that's very well said. We've been fortunate. They've kind of let us into their inner circle a little bit, and it's just, God, it's just a special thing to be a part of.
It really is. I'm a very, very small part of it. I know that. I don't have a very high ego, but just to be that small part has meant a lot to me. I'm gonna try to cherish these next few weeks that we still have. You know, coach, and then you know, just moving forward with Coach Ostrander, I think we couldn't have hired a better guy.
Absolutely, right. This is cliche, but it'd be fun to get hot for Barry here at the end with.
Oh, it sure would. There's, you know, a lot of similarities. I mean, you know, you go back to '09 when we went to the College World Series. You know, we played Elon, we played Georgia Tech. You know who the fourth team in that regional was?
Who?
Georgia State.
Is that right?
Yeah, maybe we didn't play them, but they were the fourth team.
Yeah,
and well, you know, maybe there's some similarities. Maybe we can, you know, maybe we can pull a run off. It'd be fun to go through it. It really would.
Absolutely.
And I hope that we can. I'd love for us to go back to Omaha. That'd be a nice tribute to a guy who's done so much for our program.
Can I tell you that we really appreciate you putting up with us too?
It's my pleasure. You know, sometimes I get a little grumpy. I guess because I'm getting older. But,
well, I thought you were going to walk off the set at the first part of this segment, so I'm glad you stuck around.
No, I like to be a little brusque at times.
It was good. It was good.
We appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, guys. Hey, appreciate all you do for Southern Miss.
One and only Jack Duggan on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, we want to thank Jack Duggan for joining us. He's a great friend, and it's always wonderful when we get together with Jack. Always have a good time. Of course, want to thank the legend Gabe Montenegro for being on the show along with his dad Momo Montenegro. It's been a great, couple hours here. And part of the reason we're here, a big part of the reason actually, is because of. Well, these good folks, Genesis of Hattiesburg and Kevin Mullins, who have been one of our four road sponsors here. And Kevin, first of all, I would be remiss if I didn't say thank you very much for sponsoring our coverage out here.
Oh, you're welcome. We're glad to sponsor Super Talk and, you know, the Southern Miss Golden Eagles.
All right. I know that Genesis of Hattiesburg and Matt Grubbs Hyundai, you, Mr. Grubbs, huge, longtime supporters of Southern Miss Athletics, and Mr. Grubbs and you and the people that were you, the guys that run the dealerships, you have a real appreciation for the value that the university brings to the community. Kevin, talk about that, if you will.
Without question, you know, we've got not only Southern Miss, but William Carey, too. We've got two wonderful universities in the city, and they bring a lot of business to us, too. So we like to give back, obviously, to those who give to us. And, you know, they make a huge impact, a positive impact on the community and the lives of our youth growing forward. So, you know, anything we can do to help out, we do our best.
Well, you guys do a lot, and I think you do a lot more than probably the average fan realizes. There's a lot going on with your company right now, Kevin. You guys are remodeling your Hyundai dealership, and then right down the road you're going to build a Genesis dealership that you told me was going to be like a Taj Mahal of car dealerships.
Well, if you've ever been to a Ritz-Carlton, that's going to be on the low end of luxury compared to what this facility is going to be. It's about a 15,000 square foot building, all glass, everything, every touch point is going to be leather, high technology. It's going to be something that Hattiesburg really hasn't seen on that end of a luxury scale so far, and we're super excited about it.
When do you anticipate that opening, Kevin?
We're hoping September or October. We're actually ahead of schedule on that building, where with a Hyundai remodel, we seem to be a little bit behind schedule, but that's okay. You know, we hope to be in there September or early October this year.
Now, the Hyundai dealership is really still undergoing some renovation, but my heavens, I was in there the other day talking to you. It's beautiful as well. You guys really have state-of-the-art facilities.
Yeah, it's beautiful as well. We've actually doubled the size of our sales showroom, and it's completely open and ready to go now. And then we should be back in the service department, the service riders area, and the service check-in. We should hopefully be into that area next week. And then we'll finish painting the exterior of the building on the backside and inside the service department. And we'll be about done here. So hopefully in about 2 weeks, we'll be complete.
Good deal. Now, I want to talk to you while we still have a couple of minutes left about Matt Grubb. He put in perspective what a massive supporter of Southern Miss Athletics he has always been, Kevin.
I don't know if you can put it in perspective. Not only do you go to school there, he contributes in every way he can, you know, financially, with his time. You know, he does a lot behind the scenes that people don't know about. People call on him for advice when they have big questions and big decisions to be made. A lot of times they'll stop by and talk to him. I see it happen all the time. And, you know, as an individual, there's not a better person in the world to work for and work with.
No question. Very kind man and loves basketball. I know he supports everything, but boy, he loves basketball, doesn't he?
Oh, my. Yeah, and he's always on front row, dead center on at the USM Golden Eagles games. He's got his season tickets right there, and I get to go out there, sit next to him a couple times a year, and it's a great event. It's great, especially this past year with how great the basketball team was and the turnout that the crowds had. You know, it was an atmosphere that, since I've been in Hattiesburg 12 years now, or 11 years, and I've never seen that kind of atmosphere at Reed Green Coliseum that I saw this year.
No question. Well, Kevin, again, I want to thank you for sponsor. I want to thank you for all the things you do with Super Talk, but most of all, I want to thank you for your friendship, man. I really enjoy my conversations with you, and I'm proud to call you a friend, and I really appreciate all that you've done.
I love you, my brother, and you're a great friend as well.
All right. Kevin Mullins, everybody. Thank you, buddy, from Genesis of Hattiesburg. That's going to wrap it up here for us, I think. We got a tie ball game here, Luke.
We do. Exciting. A lot of people listening in. My parents, Joe and Jean Johnson, listening to us from Conway, Wales in the U.K. Little summer vacation.
Wow.
So
how about that?
Eagle Hour on the road to Montgomery, but other people listening. Montenegro's joining us, the commissioner joining us, the athletic director joining us, and the Golden Eagles will take the field later today against Troy. Should be a good game.
Oh, it's been a great trip out here. We'll be here tomorrow. Luke will be back at Camp Shelby. I'll be here. Want to thank Warren & Warren Asphalt, Genesis of Hattiesburg, Parrish Tractor Company, Southern Bank Corp. Thank you, my brother. Always fun to come on the road and work with
Absolutely.
You. Absolutely. We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.